You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, November 8th, 2015, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Teaching in the temple, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
All she had to live on. That's right. There's no getting around it. Not a percentage, not a tithe. Everything. Her whole life. That's what we hear Jesus holding up to his disciples this morning as an example. It seems this widow's two small coins were worth more than the big money that others were putting into the temple treasury. They weren't putting in everything. She was. I can't begin to imagine how many thousands of stewardship sermons have been preached on this text. You've heard them, I'll bet, more than once. So have I. I've even preached them. But you know what? In reflecting on this text over these last few days, I've realized that most of these stewardship sermons, including the ones I've preached, have missed the point. As soon as we try to analogize the widow giving all that she had to the temple to our giving to the church, we've missed the point. Because inevitably we say something like, "Well, if she gave everything, I guess I ought to give just a little bit more." And so when the widow gets used simply as an example of faithful giving, an example, by the way, we'll never live up to, it becomes easy to ignore what's really going on here. If we think of our stewardship as being primarily about giving our money, whether to the church or other worthy organizations, our focus is too narrow. In fact, we fundamentally misunderstand who we are and who God is calling us to be. Because a steward isn't an owner. A steward is a manager. That's the literal meaning of the word steward. A steward is a manager. A manager acting on behalf of an owner. And the owner, of course, is God. God, from whom all blessings flow. The owner of all that was or is to come is not me. The resources of my household aren't mine in any permanent sense. They're just passing through. I'll be 64 next month, which seems hard to believe since I was 35 about a minute and a half ago. And as I continue that inexorable journey through life towards the closing hymn, if you know what I mean, I realize more and more the truth that I don't own anything in any permanent sense of that term. I'll leave the stage the same way I entered, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's all passing away, as Paul observed to the Corinthians. So when Zani and I sat down a couple of weeks ago to complete our pledge card, an interesting conversation ensued. Almost reflexively, the question we began with was, well, how much will we pledge this year? And that led to an examination of our household budget and a review of our giving last year, which finally led to a conversation about our priorities. It turns out that there are a couple of small leaks in our little household boat. Maybe yours has a few leaks too. So anyway, our conversation about priorities turned out to be a really important one. Finally, and with a good bit of feeling in her voice, Zani said, I want to be a better steward of my whole life. I want to be a better steward of me. Well, that sure convicted me. Exactly. I want to be a better steward of my whole life, too. I want to be a better steward of me. And so the question, how much should we give to St. Thomas this year, is really the wrong question. That's a question an owner would ask, not a steward. If you've given all your money to a financial advisor to manage, for example, wouldn't you be surprised if she said, I'm going to manage 2% or 5% or 10% of this for you, and I'm going to keep the rest for myself. I'd be out of that office pretty quick. No, you would expect your financial advisor to manage all of your resources for your interest. And so it is with God. I didn't hear Jesus say, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and with 2% of your income. Not at all. That's an owner's way of looking at things. An owner chooses to give or not. But the truth is, we are managers. We are only here for a little while. And the only question is whether we manage in the interest of God, the owner, well or poorly. In fact, I would go so far as to say that this is the ultimate question in our lives. How have we managed this gift from God, namely our very lives, well or poorly? What kind of steward of my life am I? It's an accounting I have to give every day. And I really do believe that one day it is an accounting I will make with the real owner of my life, the one whom I'm called to love with all my heart, mind, and strength. Now, I don't dread that accounting because I know that the owner of my life is both just and merciful. But I tell you what, I sure do want to get it right. And that's where this story of the widow's two coins comes in. The widow offered all that she has and all that she was, 100%. We're called to manage all of our assets in the interests of God, spiritual, emotional, physical, intellectual, professional, and yes, financial, in the interest of God, 100%. And this is why our vestry is asking us as a community to move into a new way of living. The shorthand name for this is year-round stewardship. We want to be good stewards of our whole lives, all the time, being faithful managers of all that God has blessed us with. I'm talking about life and love and family and friends and community and calling is really life-changing. It's transformative. Engagement, abundance, gratitude, those are the watchwords of our new stewardship adventure. You know, it's way beyond the annual 4-week begathon in the fall. Don't you get tired of that? I do. I sure do get tired of that. And I know you do too. So let's move beyond that. You know, it's about growing and strengthening this life-giving and life-changing community we're all blessed to be part of. You know, we aren't isolated individuals living in our own little cabins, rationing out ourselves and our resources. We are a Christian community. A group of people bound together with a common vision of living in joyful hope of the resurrection. That resurrected life in Christ is best experienced here and now in community, in this community. So imagine that Jesus has just told you the story of the widow who put in all that she had. And now he turns to you and says, what will you put in? What will I put in? If my answer isn't everything, well, I got some work to do. Loving and serving with all my heart, mind, and strength. Being a faithful manager, a committed manager of the gifts of life and love. Living that out in this community of followers of Jesus. And one tangible, concrete sign of my commitment to be a faithful manager was that pledge card, that commitment card that Zani and I turned in last Sunday. And if you haven't turned yours in yet, you'll see them around you. They're in the pews right now. Those cards are a sign of commitment. A sign of commitment to being a follower of Jesus. And that's why it's really important to you to complete this card. This card tells you that you are committed to following Jesus. You know, it's just a different feeling than simply making a contribution in the offering plate on those Sundays you come to church. There's real satisfaction in being truly committed. And your pledge allows the vestry and staff to be responsible stewards of this community. Yes, there are bills to pay so that we can maintain this beautiful sanctuary and our beautiful new life center. You know, by the way, the heat was out in here this morning. And at 8 o'clock, it was really cold in here. It was about like 60 degrees. And somebody said, you did that on purpose, didn't you? I wish I was that smart. No, I didn't do that on purpose. And you've called what I believe is truly a remarkable staff to serve you in this community. You know, they're committed to you, that's for sure. And I hope you find the staff worthy of your support. That pledge card is also a sign of gratitude for this very special Christian community. And that's important. The gratitude, the commitment reflected in your commitment card allows your vestry and staff to be good stewards themselves. One day, we will all be called to make an accounting. In fact, we're really called to account for every day. And I truly believe that accounting isn't about numbers. It's about commitment. It's about faith. It's about surrender. How have I used the ultimate resource, my very life that God has entrusted to me? Have I used it purposefully in love and service? Or have I used it selfishly to gratify my ego and to gratify all of my desires? I struggle to answer that accounting every single day. Some days I do better than others. But I do believe that it's the struggle itself that counts. It's the commitment that counts, the commitment to the struggle. It's the pledge of my whole life to the owner of my life. 100%. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.